So Leviticus 3:1-17. If your offering is a fellowship offering, and you offer an animal from the herd, whether male or female, you are to present him before the Lord an animal. You are to present before the Lord an animal without defect. You are to lay your hand on the head of your offering and slaughter it at the entrance to the tent of meeting. Then Aaron's sons, the priests, shall splash the blood against the sides of the altar. From the fellowship offering, you are to bring a food offering to the Lord, the internal organs and all the fat that is connected to them, both kidneys with the fat on them near the loins and the long lobe of the liver, which you will remove with the kidneys. Then Aaron's sons are to burn it on the altar on top of the burnt offering that is lying on the burning wood. It is a food offering, an aroma pleasing to the Lord. If you offer an animal from the flock as a fellowship offering to the Lord, you are to offer a male or female without defect. If you offer a lamb, you are to present it before the Lord, lay your hand on its head, and slaughter it in front of the tent of meeting. Then Aaron's son shall splash its blood against the sides of the altar. From the fellowship offering, you are to bring a food offering to the Lord. Its fat, the entire fat tail, cut off close to the backbone, the internal organs and all the fat that is connected to them, both kidneys with the fat on them, near the loins, and the long lobe of the liver, which you will remove with the kidneys. The priest shall burn them on the altar as a food offering presented to the Lord. If your offering is a goat, you are to present it before the Lord. Lay your hand on its head and slaughter it in front of the tent of meeting. Then Aaron's son shall splash its blood against the sides of the altar. From what you offer, you are to present this food offering to the Lord, the internal organs and all the fat that is connected to them, both kidneys with the fat on them near the loins, and the long lobe of the liver, which you will remove with the kidneys. The priest shall burn them on the altar as a food offering, a pleasing aroma. All the fat is the Lord's. This is a lasting ordinance for the generations to come. Wherever you live, you must not eat any fat or any blood.
So that was just one of the offerings, but there's similarities between each of the offerings you find in chapters 1-7. And this is the Lord directly teaching the people, the Israelites, how to live in their daily lives in the presence of a good and holy God. I wonder, is that what we desire too, that in our daily lives that we live in the presence of a good and holy God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? And so Leviticus is about how do we maintain a relationship with God. It is not about regulations and rituals. I don't want you to spend time thinking, well, there's this and there's this. That, you know, the key is, what is the Lord saying about himself? And what is this Lord saying about people in order for us to maintain that abiding that we sung about, that presence of God? And so the context, we did this last week, so this is a little test, just to make sure you are listening. Where are the Israelites at the moment? In the wilderness. Yeah, they're in the wilderness. They've not reached the promised land. And what have they just built? Excellent. Oh, good. This is great. So you know the context. Why can't Moses meet with God in the tabernacle? Why is he hearing God from the tabernacle, not in the tabernacle? Yeah, because he's not holy. Yeah, he hasn't gone through the process of being holy so that he can actually go into the very presence of God. So this is the context of where we are in this passage. And also, I'd like to remind you that the context is that the Israelites were farmers. Yeah, they kept livestock, cattle, sheep and goats to eat. And they stayed long enough that they could also grow grain. Animals were not pets. It's quite different from today. They were not hunted for sport. They were valuable. And it was important to take good care of them. Your wealth, your possessions were measured by the amount of healthy livestock you had and the grain that you possessed. If we were measured today on that, how wealthy would you be? Today, remember, our wealth is measured by our homes and possessions and investments and money. I was pleased to know that two grew up on a farm from my home group. Do you know what I mean? And I don't know, has anyone else grew up on a farm? Because the context, the thinking is of a farmer, that animals are for food. They are wealth. And that's the background thinking that I'd like us to have in this context as we're looking at how the Israelites sacrificed 1,500 years before Christ. Sacrifice is just part of human nature. You instinctively sacrifice for people you love. I think the biggest sacrifices in the world are mothers. That they give up what is valuable to them. Their bodies, their time, their money, their energy, their strength. They give because they love that little child. So sacrifice is surrendering something of value for the benefit of another person. I wonder if you can think of sacrifices your mum made for you. And I'm sure you can think of sacrifices you've made for your children. And that's the concept that we are coming with today. There are five sacrifices mentioned in chapters 1 to 7. There are two thank offerings where you brought in your grain, fellowship, or sometimes it's called peace offerings. You brought in those things, and they were symbolic to say, thank you. I'm giving you part of what I have grown, or part of what I of my livestock, to say, thank you, Lord. So there's sacrifices of praise, which we sang about earlier. And then there's also sin offerings or atonement offerings, and they are burnt offerings, purification offerings, and restitution offerings that men and women bought. This wasn't just a male thing. It was men and women would bring these offerings, these sacrifices, for the sins that they had committed or to make restitution. They may have stolen or accidentally done something to somebody else's property. This, there was acts of restitution, acts of, like, let's make sure we are clean. And then there's sin offerings where it's all burnt, it's all taken away. The sin offerings all involved offering the life blood of animals, because the wages of sin is death. A life is needed so that we do not die from our sins. A life offered that we may live in the presence of a holy God. There are lots of points that you could bring out. I'm going to bring out five today. And I think the longest one is the first one. And as we noticed in that reading, you know, Leviticus 3, 1, and then you'll find this in Leviticus 3, 16 as well. Present before the Lord an animal without defect. And then you present all the fat to the Lord. And what it's basically saying is, point one is, offer your best, the most valuable thing to you. Animals without defect, or your finest flour, oil, and scent, were required for sacrifices to God. The choicest meat, the ones with fat portions. Now, animals weren't as fat in those days as they are today. You know, these are wild, you know, out in the wild, out in the wilderness. And so actually fat was quite limited on these animals. And so to offer that portion, it was the tastiest, it was the best bit that they were offering to the Lord. I want you to think here when you're doing this, you are thinking of, this is a meal with God. You are offering hospitality to God. And hopefully if you offer hospitality to people, you don't give them, you serve them first and you hopefully offer them the best of what you have, you know, and that's the idea behind this. This is about hospitality. It's creating a culture of giving. It's creating a culture of where we give the best to God and the most valuable. A male bull or ram is worth an awful lot, especially when they are in their prime. That's a big offering that you are giving, yeah? Worship that costs nothing actually means nothing. The key is the desire behind the offering was to give God pleasure, a pleasing aroma. And the attitude behind the offering was actually what was most important. It's not remember about the ritual, it's about the relationship. And if we can remember that as we go through this, it's not about the rituals we do, it's about the relationship. And God desires a thankful and fully devoted heart, a heart that desires to give their absolute best to God. Now, I've just pulled out a few passages, but this is something God has to remind his people over and over again, and Jesus reminds them too. In 1 Samuel 15:22 states that obeying the Lord is better than sacrifice. It's not, oh, I'm going to do this little ritual and I'll be fine. Tempting, but that's not how it works. Hosea 6:6 declares that God desires mercy and acknowledgement of him rather than sacrifice and burnt offerings. And Jesus quoted this in Matthew. Psalm 51:16 to 17 indicates that God's desired sacrifice is actually a broken and contrite heart. What attitude are we coming with when we come like we did at the beginning of the service to say, Lord, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry about the voluntary or involuntary sins that I have done this week that stopped me coming into your full presence. And in Mark 12:33, a scribe tells Jesus that loving God and your neighbor is more important than sacrifices. And Jesus affirms this. Now, at the moment, I'm just doing the context. This is the context of the passage and the content. We are going to do the contribution, but I think you're wise enough to know what the contribution to our lives is from that first point. And remember, it's about you. You offer your best. You kill the animal. Even the bird was killed beforehand, then it was just split up. If you look at chapter one, it was just split up by the priest. You lay your hand on that animal. It's about your sin, you offering your best. Because you are the one who are going to be cleansed. It's your part in the forgiveness of sin. Worship and sacrifice is never meant to be, oh, you do it for me. It's meant to be us involved doing part of it. You bring, you make, you lay your hand. And the focus was not on death. If you notice, there was no details of this is how you need to kill your animals. Yeah, that's not the important part. The important part is what you do with the blood. It's the lifeblood that's the important part here, not how you kill the animal. It's not about death. It's about the lifeblood that you are giving because sin causes death. When blood is shed, it means that life has been laid down and offered to God. Sin brings death. A life is needed to cover that sin. I mean, I was really struck by this. In fact, I've underlined it by notes for me. Life is precious. And sin is so serious. Sin is so serious in its effects that a life is required to cover and deal with sin. And I was like, Lord, do I take this as seriously as you do? That just voluntary or involuntary sins prevent me from coming into your presence, prevent me from being all that I have created to be, bring death to me rather than life. Sin is serious. All the lifeblood would be drained out of the animal and poured at the base of the altar. Why? Because actually this stops the Israelites copying what other nations did when they sacrificed animals. And remember, they didn't just sacrifice animals, they sacrificed children. They sacrificed human and they killed others in war for sport. The nations around would drink the blood of the animals and the people they killed. I'm watching Star Trek at the moment. There's a new series out. And I found it really funny as I was reading this, because the Klingons drink blood wine. They are a nation of predators, of warriors, of killers, and they kill for sport, and there's honor in that. And it's come up a number of times in a number of the series that they drink the blood of their enemies. And, you know, to me, it's given me an idea of what the enemy's culture was around. And this is not the culture that God is trying to create here. He is creating a culture that honors the life of all these creatures. God's rituals are about valuing the life of the animal. And when you kill it, it feels very different than killing for sport and drinking the lifeblood of the animal or human. Do you see? It's a different culture, a kingdom culture that God is trying to create with his people. And as you heard, a small amount of blood is used. We'll talk about this another time, but rubbed on the priest for ordination. And then on the altar, we heard it splattered on the altar. Blood is not to be ingested like the cannibals did around them, but consecrated, used for cleansing. The culture was created of respecting the lifeblood given up for the sins committed. And thirdly, you'd notice as you read through, it's like you can bring a bull, you can bring a lamb, you can bring a ram, you can bring a bird. And the idea is that everybody is welcome. Your economic status does not determine whether you can come into the holy presence of God, whether you can be cleansed, whether you can offer a thank offering. The idea is that everybody can come. You come bringing what you can. And I was speaking to my friend who's got a wasting muscle disease and now got stomach cancer. And she was talking about how she longs for heaven. And it won't be, it's just a matter of months now. But she's like, I can't do anything for God. I literally cannot even get out of a chair. And I was thinking, just the fact that you're talking to him, that you're praying and desiring your funeral to be something that honors God, because most of your family and friends don't. That is what you can bring. You bring what you can. And God's grace covers everybody. It's inclusive. The welcome is wide because he wants everybody to come into his presence. And I don't know if you notice when you've read through, hopefully, chapters 1-7, there is ritual washing with the animals, and there is no yeast allowed in the flour, oil and frankincense that is mixed together for little cakes. Washing is part of the ritual for sacrifice because everything must be clean. I mean, I don't think I need to go into the details, do I, with you, of why you need to wash the intestines and wash the back hind legs. Do you know what I mean? Because so that the aroma is pleasing to God. I mean, also the priests had to do a ritual washing before they actually, did the final sacrifice after you'd bought the animal. It is important because it symbolizes the absolute purity and holiness when approaching God. Again, I've been challenged reading this. Do I take sin seriously enough? And do I approach this idea of coming into God's presence purified, holy, cleansed? And in the grain offerings, no leaven, which is yeast, because yeast is a fungus to be present, because the idea is yeast is a practical symbol of the fungal effect of sin and uncleanliness. Some of you know I went for an endoscopy a couple of weeks ago, and stomach was clear, but I have a fungal infection from here down to my stomach. And one of the things that affects that is they basically say stop eating bread because the yeast is a fungus and it causes that fungal infection. And I've been on medication. Hopefully I'm all right now. But the idea is I was thinking, and it spread rapidly. And just, you know, I've tried to get rid of it. It's taken weeks to get rid of this fungal infection. But it's been a really good practical exercise of me thinking, this is what sin does. And it's really hard to be cleansed and got rid of. Yeah. And I like this, in the sacrifice, don't put honey or raisins or even chocolate chips in. The idea is that it's just simple. Just bring these three things. Bring the animal. You know, this is just a simple, bring what you can, bring something simple, because you want to offer this to the Lord, either for thanksgiving or your sin. And lastly, sharing of the sacrifice with others. As you read chapters 1 to 7, not all sacrifices were completely burnt. I mean, the sin certainly one was. It's like, we want to get rid of that all together, what you have bought. But some sacrifices involved giving portions to God and some to the priest, and some you shared with others. Again, this concept, he's creating a culture of hospitality, of eating together, but including God in that. And he's also, I like the fact that I think one of them says that the priest gets a nice sort of loin or leg, you know, and I'm like, oh, that sounds good. You know what I mean? They get a nice piece. Of course, the Lord gets the best, but the priest gets that. And then, you know, if you actually realize about the grain or the flour fellowship offering, they just bring a handful and make a small cake and offer that. And the rest is given to the priest. You know, the rest of the first fruits or flour and oil and frankincense is given to the priest. That's how they were paid. You know, they didn't have land, and what they were given was to help them continue to do these sacrifices on behalf of the people. So what on earth does that mean for us today? What's the contribution? And I think some of it you can already tell. But the bottom line is, are we still meant to sacrifice today? And the answer from Peter and from Paul, yeah, it feels like that one, you know, one named Peter, one named Paul. But the answer from Peter and Paul is that yes. You know, Peter writing to the church says in 1 Peter 2:5, you also, like living stones, are built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood. And we'll talk about that. What does it mean for us to be a priesthood today, every one of us? But we are in this part, it's about offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. We are meant to offer spiritual sacrifices through Jesus Christ on a daily basis. And Romans 12:1, we are to offer ourselves as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. The most valuable thing that you can offer the Lord, which we actually sang about today, is ourselves. Fully and wholeheartedly, all you are and all you have. You know, I saw some this morning, and you know, this is why you raise your hands in worship, because you're saying, take every part of me. Just as they would have offered up the lamb, you're offering up yourself and saying, I will offer up my life in spirit and truth. I will give you everything I am, all my gifts, all my talents. I will give you who I am because of what you have done for me. But the key here is, isn't it? We can't forget that line through Jesus Christ. We can only come into God's presence like we did this morning because of the living sacrifice that Jesus did on our behalf to enable us to receive him as our Lord and Savior. Jesus gave his life blood. And because he was holy or innocent like the animal, we are able to receive the cleansing of our sins, his holiness. We are able to be washed clean, righteous, and able to enter the very holy of holies of God's presence. We cannot worship and offer ourselves without first receiving Jesus as our Lord and Savior and first receiving the cleansing of sins. It's the same in Leviticus for the Old Testament. It's the same in the New Testament. Without that, you cannot come into the holy presence of God, because we know what happens when unholy comes into a holy presence, and God does not want that. So being living sacrifices involves, like the Israelites, it's giving your best. Sometimes I don't think I give my best in a week, if I'm really honest. You know, I'm not starting the week in my diary. I try to. On a Sunday afternoon, usually I look at the diary, and am I giving my best to the Lord in what I'm doing this week? Am I giving something of value to him? And to be honest with you, the most valuable thing I have is my time. Well done for every one of you coming here this morning. You've given up an hour and a bit of your time on a Sunday morning, which, as you know, is rare nowadays. But that is a huge sacrifice of your time. And God honors that. He loves that. He loves it that people keep coming on Sunday mornings around the world to worship him, to offer that sacrifice of time. Thank you for so many of you who have enabled us not to have the deficit we expect at the every year, but to actually still be financially sound because of the money that you give. I know many of you offer your homes, you offer your spiritual gifts and talents to God, and you do it because you are thankful and grateful and wholeheartedly. I wonder if you looked at how your day goes, how is your day, your front lines, your everyday? How is it in terms of your time, money, resources, talents? Are you giving the best to God? I don't know if waking up, I try and wake up and have a bit of a cup of tea first so that I am properly awake when I have my quiet time. Because I think if I did the minute I woke up and without a cup of tea, that would not be my best. I am incredibly grateful, especially when I had steak last week. I'm looking and saying, thank you, Lord, for your provision for me, you know. And then at night, am I remembering to thank him for the glorious day we had yesterday? Wasn't it so nice to see the sunshine? Utterly beautiful. Utterly beautiful. Spiritual sacrifice is offering everything we have, everything we are. And finally, it is a sacrifice to practice the culture of God's kingdom. And what he's created, a culture here in Leviticus, we are to do in the New Testament as well, this culture of hospitality, generosity, justice. You will see that come out about a number of times, and you'll see that in later scriptures. He's like, I don't care about you just sacrificing a lamb. Where's the justice that you were meant to administer as a nation and as a people? And in this instant, justice is key to the Lord, peace and right living with God and others. That's our sacrifice. That's us living and offering our spiritual sacrifices. And finally, they cleaned the inside of the animals and out, because do you remember Jesus? I was listening to that yesterday, that passage where Jesus is like, you know, you clean your outside of your cup, but your inside of the cup is dirty. You're not even honoring your parents. And I was listening to Exodus yesterday as well. Do you know what the punishment was in Exodus for not honoring your parents? I was really shocked. I don't know. I don't think we covered that. It's death. And I was like, oh my goodness. Do you know what I mean? Yes, exactly. I'm like, wow, that's pretty major. Do you know what I mean? We obviously skipped that because I don't recall that when we were studying Exodus last time. Because actually the end of Exodus is all about these sacrifices again. And I was reading it just for context. It's about what's inside. Are we clean inside? Because we can present a good Sunday face, can't we? But are we clean inside? And God knows what you do in secret. He knows what you do. He knows your motive. In fact, to be honest with you, I reckon God knows my motives better than I do myself. That's why I need the Holy Spirit to convict me. Yeah. And so I want to end by just pausing and giving us an opportunity to come before God and just say, Lord, am I offering you my best? What spiritual sacrifices do you want me to do this week? Let's not worry about the whole future. Let's just think about this week. How can we be living sacrifices, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ? How can we do that in our lives this week? So I'm just going to pause for you to pray and ask the Holy Spirit for the answer.